I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahida.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope you are all having a great week so far. I don't know, I feel like life is passing me by so fast.
I know, it's like the holiday season.
It's mid-November already. Like, what?
What is life?
What? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, yeah, right? The earth is spinning faster. Is that why the days are going faster?
I don't know.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry, y'all. I just can't get my mind over it because I'm just like...
Honestly, I did look it up. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like read into it, but I did look it up and it's true. It is spinning faster. I think we should start a petition and like you said the other episode, to make the day longer.
Yeah, please. But I don't know. It's a lot. But... luckily, y'all, we are getting some help with our podcast. Mm-hmm. So
shout out to our editor.
Mm-hmm. They're doing a great job. It is so nice to have someone just to kind of help us because, you know, editing takes time.
No, yeah. Like, I was doing re-edits and I was telling Jahida that, like, the episode was so good. Like, I felt like, like, obviously we research and we, like, take notes on these episodes, but I felt like I was listening to a different podcast because, like, it was just the edits were so good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for the longest I was the one editing, y'all. I never had experience. I was just learning as I went. And you can probably hear the difference. So now just having someone who actually knows and like does more than just the actual cuts and stuff, yeah. Like it's nice. And like you said, it's impressive. Yeah. Like, yes, kudos to you. So yeah, so if anyone needs an editor out there, let us know and we'll hook you up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, just a quick shout out to them.
An appreciation. For our editor.
And so now let's get into the case. So hoy vamos a hablar de Karen Ramirez. Y Karen era joven y ella tenía una niña chiquita pequeñita y tenía sueño de poder darle más. You know, I think like every parent always does. Y por esa razón ella se fue de Honduras para ir a los Estados Unidos para trabajar.
I feel like we hear this story again and again, like as first generation, this is the main reason why a lot of parents leave their country to come for a better life.
Yeah.
And like that's, yeah. So antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up. We will be talking about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, like always, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Let's jump in.
Karen Ramirez is de Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and she became a mom at a young age, but she always wished to give her more, and she felt like she couldn't do that where she was, so she decided to leave her daughter with her parents so she could go to the United States to try to make more money and then go back to Honduras.
Yeah, Karen was after the American dream, and I don't know, I feel like that is a very... close to home subject, because I know my parents did the same thing, you know, like they came over with my sisters and, you know, siempre queriendo más mejorar la vida. So, you know, I don't know. I give props to every person who was able to do that transition because it must be very hard.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. New country, new language, culture, everything.
Yes, family.
Yeah. But like her leaving her daughter, like you're sacrificing, you know, time with your daughter, but it's for her a better life. You know?
That's a big sacrifice.
Yeah, it is.
So she arrived to the United States in 2016 and she started living in Houston, Texas, con sus tías maternas. So también es bonito poder venir y tener alguien aquí también, right?
Support
that can
system,
help you navigate through a whole new life. And, you know, she was supporting her daughter even with so much distance between them.
So her plans were either que ella trabajara por poquito y al rato después en el futuro se traía a su hija a los Estados Unidos para que viviera con ella, Ya después, you know, that she had saved up some money, she would go back to Honduras with her daughter, but she would be more financially comfortable. So it's like one or the other. But either way, like, su meta era regresar y unirse con su hija.
Mm-hmm. She had a plan. Mm-hmm. And so Karen arrived and she started working at a restaurant. And people around her described her como una persona muy trabajadora, luchista, alegre y con una sonrisa siempre. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot because she doesn't have her daughter. And she's still like...
She's been optimistic about life.
Yes, being optimistic and making the best out of her situation.
Exactly, like le está echando ganas, you know. Y en su trabajo es donde ella conoció a Miguel Ángel Bueso, and they started dating right away, and they actually moved in together fairly quick, just after a few months of dating.
And even with so much distance, Karen was still, you know, la hablaba su mamá back in Honduras and, you know, have frequent calls with her mom and also her daughter. Entonces, she would tell her about her life over here in Texas. Mm-hmm. Y ella le había dicho que se iba, you know, juntarse con Miguel. And the thing is, Karen's mom did not like him. And she's in Honduras, so she has never met him, just over the phone. And even through that, she just got a bad vibe from him. And like we've said in multiple episodes, el corazón de una madre nunca se equivoca.
Never.
And over the phone to catch a bad vibe.
It must say a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to pick up the bad vibes over a phone. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so she picked up these bad vibes through the phone, pero también... Hay que acordarnos que Karen no estaba viviendo sola, ella estaba viviendo con tías y pues las tías hablan y ella también was close to her sister Kylie y ella también vivía allí en Houston. And so Kylie and las tías también le platicaban a la mamá de Karen de este muchacho and, you know, I don't know, like her mom was just like, no, this is a no.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all the information she gathered from the tías and her other daughter and Kylie as well, like, she just made her own conclusions. And also meeting him over the phone, like, she just knew from the jump that she didn't like him. And so a little fast forward, you know, they were living together and Miguel was working from home. He had a barber shop.
I know, it's kind of cool, like, your own little business. But then short after, Karen quit her restaurant job and started working at a nightclub. And this is what caused issues in the relationship.
He was, as many of you may guess, he was super jealous of her new job. And he was super short-tempered. And they argued often. And neighbors knew because they would see it and they would hear it so often.
Yeah. And unfortunately, on March 24th, 2017, Karen paró de contestar su teléfono. She contacted no one, she reached out to no one, talked to no one, and so this day was the last day that she was seen.
On March 24th, 2017, Karen and Miguel were at a nightclub, arguing, and at some point, they both leave and make it home.
Los vecinos dicen que ellos los escucharon pelear entre las horas de la madrugada, y esto fue el 25 de marzo. They said that they could hear Miguel telling Karen, shut up, calm down, I'm going to shoot you, like I shot at you the other time.
That's crazy.
That's like all the freaking red flags, dude.
Yeah, like the other time, like this is casual for you?
Yeah, like what? Shouldn't have happened the other time.
I mean, to me, it seems like maybe he did that to try to scare her, but like he maybe wasn't trying to
get to that.
Yeah, like injure her or like actually shoot her, but it was more like... I'm capable of doing it and like shooting around her.
Kind of like, I did it once, I'll do it again.
Yeah. And like this time I won't miss.
That's so ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck?
That's scary.
But yeah, it seems like they argued regularly, like according to neighbors. So, I mean, it was normal for that, for like neighbors to hear. So they didn't report it.
The surveillance video near their house shows Miguel standing behind Karen's car and looking in the trunk before shutting it and walking inside the house. Hey everyone, Jahaira here, y este episodio de Cuento Crimen Podcast es presentado por McDonald's. El McRib ha vuelto, pero esta es su tour de despedida. Like a band that's had four farewell tours, we never know if this means it's gone for good. Es momento de celebrar este sandwich icónico, from its tangy barbecue sauce to its tart pickles. No te olvides agarrar servilletas cuando te comas tu último McRib, ya sea para limpiarte las lágrimas o la salsita barbecue. Enjoy every single saucy bite like it's your last McRib ever. El tour de despedida del McRib está pasando en McDonald's. The McRib Farewell Tour is happening now at McDonald's. So make sure that you run to your nearest McDonald's and you order yourself a McRib.
Since 1985, ACED has helped aspiring Latino students achieve their dreams of going to college. But despite students' unwavering desire for progress, they still feel lost and powerless, making the need for support greater than ever. And that means it's time to hacer more.
We want to get Latino students to believe in themselves again and apply by inspiring them through Katia Echazarreta, the first Mexican-born woman to go to space, and convincing them that McDonald's can help them achieve their college dreams with the steady support of ACER.
Since 1985, McDonald's has given over $33 million in scholarships.
And now this year, McDonald's is giving away $500,000 in scholarships. That means that you can win one of the 30 scholarships, meaning you can win a scholarship for up to $100,000.
Follow your dreams. Go further like Katia Echazarreta. Apply to McDonald's ACER National Scholarship.
To apply to the McDonald's ACER National Scholarship, visit mcdonalds.com/ACER. Apply now, porque uno nunca sabe. Se puede ganar.
And now back to the episode. At this point, no one in her family can get a hold of Karen or Miguel. So they start to worry. Y la hermana de Karen, Kylie, makes a missing report on March 27th.
And so the investigation begins. Searches are being done. The family's asking the community for help. Y no todos quieren encontrar a Karen. And that's when the Texas EQ search got involved with the searches. And, you know, they are committed to, and this is like their mission, right? They are committed to providing experienced, organized, and ethical volunteer search efforts for missing persons, utilizing the most suitable and up-to-date technologies and mythologies. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know about them, they're actually pretty cool.
We've mentioned them
in other cases. That's their mission. And so they got involved in Karen's case y empezaron a ayudar con las búsquedas. Buscaron por, you know, by foot and on ATVs.
Yeah, like, you know, they were providing resources mm-hmm. and things like that.
We love to see that.
And so, you know, they started investigating and learning more about Miguel and learning more about Karen. And one thing that they did find was that Miguel was actually married to another woman called Carla Fernandez. But they were separated, and I think it was just kind of like an understanding. Mm. And they, you know, went their separate ways.
But they were like just still legally married.
Yeah.
Okay. And so authorities fueron a hablar con esa ex pareja de Miguel and, you know, just kind of wanted to see what she had to say. And she said that she talked to Miguel on March 25th because he went to tell her that he was going to Honduras because his mom was sick. I know, right? That's the exact same day that he was arguing with Karen. The exact same day that no one saw Karen after that.
And like making these like statements about shooting her,
right?
So yeah, it's not looking...
too much of a coincidence. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so they find out through the wife that she helped Miguel drop off Karen's car where it was later found, and she didn't know what she was helping with. Like, you know, he just called her up and like asked her for a favor. She didn't really know the details, and so then she did as he said. So she dropped him off at the airport after the favor on March 26th.
I mean, I guess it, I don't know, like, you know, si no son, like, pareja and they kind of just living their whole life, like, ¿quién se lo va a imaginar that you're actually helping someone commit a crime?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it takes a lot, you know? 1 week later, after her disappearance, a warehouse worker in that area found Karen's car, como dijo Stephanie, y ahí lo habían dejado in the 8,000 block of Tilghman, and they automatically called the authorities when they approached the car, porque... había mucha sangre all over the driver's side and under the seat and just basically all over it. Like, era claro que aquí en este carro algo malo había pasado.
Mm-hmm. And so since this is Karen's car and she's missing, mm-hmm. investigators believe that she was shot given the amount of blood that they found. It looked like a person was shot in the driver's seat and then pushed over to the passenger seat and then later put in the trunk.
I could see that. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. And when they keep searching the car, the trunk had an odor of human decomposition. And I feel like that's a very distinct smell. You know, like you just don't say like, oh, this smells like decomposition, mm-hmm. you know? Y por toda esta evidencia que encontraron en el carro de Karen, they assumed that Karen was dead.
Yeah, I think like given all these circumstances, aprendieron que, you know, they were arguing. It was a couple that, you know, argued. He was the jealous type. Mm-hmm. And then she's missing, and then learning all this information from his ex-wife. Yeah. That he left to Honduras, like that doesn't look good, you know? So yeah, I think given the circumstances and the way they found the car, like...
It's too much not to mm-hmm. come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And on April 6, 2017, Miguel Angel Bueso, de 28 años, has been accused of shooting his 26-year-old girlfriend, Karen Ramirez.
We also read que el hermano de Miguel, like, spoke out, and he said, and I quote, "They haven't found him, and they haven't found her. I'm thinking what everyone is thinking." Y también dijo que él en su corazón siente que es posible que su hermano haya lastimado a Karen. Porque Miguel, you know, we did describe as short-tempered. And that he recalls that one time he actually got involved only to stop Miguel from physically hurting Karen. And then he later said, and I quote, "Of course it hurts me. He is still my brother," end quote. I feel like we never really hear about, like, the family of the person committing a crime.
I was literally just thinking that.
Yeah, and, like, you can tell, like, that is disappointment.
It's deep, yeah. I mean, you love this person, right? And you have seen this person at their best, but you've also know, like, this person at their worst.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, yeah, it's disappointing, you know, and...
Yeah, he's saying, like, I know my brother, he could be capable of doing something like this.
And that's actually also very scary, because I feel like for your own family to say, like, no, you actually are capable of doing mm-hmm. something like this, like, I don't know, I feel like it says a lot, you know?
Yeah. And it's painful mm-hmm. to see that you're...
Painful to hear.
Yeah, your relative can do something like that, and, like, disappointment in so many levels. You know, authorities then traveled to Honduras and talked to his family over there. Pero le dijeron que he wasn't there at the moment, but he had previously worked in that area at a barber shop for a little while.
Yeah, so it turns out that he worked just enough to make enough money to then travel to Guatemala. Y allí él empezó otra vez a trabajar as a barber. And he was actually in Honduras up to January of 2018. Y ya después de allí es cuando se movió a Guatemala. So he was there for a while.
Mm-hmm. So 4 years later, with the help of the FBI and the Guatemalan law enforcement and other agencies, he was found and arrested in Guatemala on April 9th, 2021. And he was extradited almost 1 full year later and booked into the Harris County Jail in Texas.
I know it was a while, you know, from the day that Karen was missing, but here's this person that fled the country, right? Goes back to his home country and then flees that country. So I'm actually very glad that they were able to work together to find him and that he is now, you know, serving his time.
Yeah, because in muchos casos that we've covered on here, también se sospecha que, you know, the person who committed mm-hmm. these crimes, they flee to Mexico, they flee to, you know, these countries. So it's nice to hear that in this case, they did flee, but they were still caught.
They were still caught, yeah. It's impressive in a way, yeah. But even though, you know, he was taken in, he's still awaiting trial. It's been very hard to start the trial because there has been no body found. So even though it is assumed que, you know, Karen ya no está viva, no han encontrado ningún cuerpo que sea Karen. And that's why it's been really hard to kind of get the ball going with this whole thing.
Yeah, they either need to find her mm-hmm. Or they need a confession from him. So, yeah, I think those things make trials hard. So, yeah, it's just kind of difficult all around.
So unfair.
Mm-hmm. But if he is convicted, he faces up to life in prison.
Investigators have not located Karen's body, and they urge anyone with information on her remains to contact the HPD Homicide Division at 713-308-3600.
Los investigadores no han localizado a Karen y insisten que si cualquier persona que tenga información sobre ella, que se comuniquen con la División de Homicidios del HPD al 713-308-3600.
And yeah, this is all for Karen's case. Como dijimos, nos da gusto de que la persona responsable ya está en las manos de la policía. But now it is just trying to get that ball going and trying to get him to, you know, face a sentence.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe hopefully he can confess and that way things get going for, you know, at least for Karen's family.
And just, and also, like, let them know, like, where is she, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that. And hopefully they can find closure as to where the body is and lay her to rest. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. As a reminder, we are always open for requests. We've actually gotten a few these past few weeks, so it's kind of cool. And yeah, we will see you all next week for another episode.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.